The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. We will also be looking at other scriptures this morning as well. But for the moment, we will look at this chapter 1. We are continuing the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, doctrine means teaching. And as we look at the teaching over these past weeks, looking at the eternal Christ, virgin birth of Christ, the sinless life, Christ's spiritual and physical suffering, his death, the cross and Calvary where he shed Christ's blood for sinners, made a sacrifice to God for sin, and how we see his burial, and then in Christ's resurrection. Now we come to Christ's ascension into heaven and his glorification as the great high priest. But first of all, which I think it is important, this is something really I should have explained on our last meeting, last Lord's Day, but sometimes it doesn't work out and the time beats us. But if I was doing it again, I would involve this part of the message in last week's. And it is the glory of Jesus Christ. And this is very important because the Bible tells us about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and that it never left him. Never left him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we will look at that just for a few moments and we'll see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No beginning. There's no end in the Lord Jesus. And we see in that great chapter, the Lord's Prayer, in John chapter 17, it says, "Behold my glory." Then the scripture says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." We also read in that chapter 17 of John's Gospel, we read also, he says it again, about the glory he had with Christ before the world. In heaven, we will see his glory, as it says there. Now, how wonderful that will be. We will see the glorified Christ there. But we'll come at that just in a moment. And the church, even down here, present and future, here in that prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed for his present disciples, those who were with them, that the Lord would bless them and keep them and help them. And he says in the scripture, for the future church, and that includes you and I. Now how wonderful that was, that prayer in that garden. And do read that great chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. We should be very familiar with it. And then we also see in John chapter 1 and verse 14, we see at Christ's birth. And we see the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. At his very birth, saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon, when he had the child Jesus in his arms, saw his glory. It was very important that we always remember the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see in his sinless life. And there we have in Luke 9 and 32, the transfiguration. Now how Peter, John and James, and it says, saw his glory. And then in his death, in Luke 23 and verse 47, the centurion, when he saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. In his death, he saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see in the resurrection, in the body, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 32, we're speaking about this last Lord's day. And we see the two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and how the Lord Jesus Christ drew nigh to them. But their eyes were holden. In other words, they could not see it was the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't see him. When he walked with them and talked about the things of God and what had taken place, and still their eyes were not opened. And he went into their house, and there, as they were given meat to eat, and as the Lord Jesus Christ took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, then their eyes were opened, and they saw his glory. They saw him. And what did they say? Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us? Then they remembered the words that he had spoken. Then they saw his glory. And that's what's today. That's why people take the Lord's name in vain. That's why you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you don't believe in God. Because our eyes are holden. And even before we were saved, our eyes were holden. We could not see the Lord Jesus Christ. We could not see his glory. Until our eyes were opened, we realized we were lost sinners, and Christ saved us. Oh, how wonderful that was. Oh, we see in his resurrection, we see even today the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory as we look and read the scriptures. And it's good when we come to God in prayer that our eyes are fixed on him and him only, that we're not thinking about other things as we pray, that we will direct our prayers unto God. This is very important as we go through a life's journey. Then we even see now, as we come to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see in John chapter 1 and verse 52, Christ promises his ascension. He prophesies it. And who did he speak it to? Remember Nathanael. Nathanael, Philip was speaking to him about, here is Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And how he said, so there's nothing good comes out of Nazareth. How he says, Philip said, come and see. And they went, and even how the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, I saw thee when you were in under the fig tree. And his heart Nathaniel realized, yes, truly, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he say? He says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You're going to see more than this, Nathaniel. See the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see something special. And I'm sure Nathaniel, in that 3 years with Christ, I'm sure those words came into his mind many times. The things he's going to see. He's going to see the angels ascending and descending. How wonderful that would have been. But before Christ ascended, as we read here, and we see in verse 2, he taught the disciples, taught them wonderful things. And during those 40 days, he was in and among them. What a blessed time they had. Even the whole books in the world could not contain it. It was so wonderful. It must have been a wonderful time to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He done many wonders. And how the hearts of the disciples must have been really encouraged, really strengthened. Then he gave the disciples direction. And this is something very important. What was his directions? Wait for the promise of God. And what was the promise of God he was speaking to? It was a promise in John chapter 14 that Jesus said, I will pray to the Father that he will send to you the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. That's what it was. That's what was a promise. And you have to wait. Sometimes we as Christians can run on. But we must wait on the Lord. We must encourage ourselves. We must have patience. How important this is in our life that we wait on the Lord. Then he says in verse 5, the Holy Ghost will come upon them soon. It'll not be long before the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It'll be soon. We'll look at John again, chapter 7 and verse 39, and how Christ was speaking about the living water. Spoke about it one Lord's Day afternoon, and after he had spoken, remember how John explained it. He says, for the Holy Ghost was not given yet, because that Christ was not yet glorified. Then, I'll come back on that in a few moments, but we see in verse 6 again, the disciples asked a question. We're always good at asking questions. It's a great way to learn. It says, when will he restore again the kingdom to Israel? This is what they were thinking about. When Christ was going to come and rule again in his kingdom. And it's just like us today. We talk about when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again for his church. Well, the Lord will not come back to his church until the very last one of his church is saved. And Christ answers that question very clear and very plain. It's not for you to know the times or the season. In other words, it was not any of their business. They weren't to think of this. And it's the same for the second coming of Christ. We do not know when Christ is coming back again. People may guess he could come back very soon. Or it might be many, many, many years. Maybe hundreds or thousands years. We do not know. And we are not to think on it. Because God has himself appointed a time whenever the Lord Jesus Christ will come back again for his church. What does it say? I'll be speaking on it in one of our meetings, I think in the September. And we heartily encourage each other on it. Not to fight about it, or to argue about it, but we have to encourage each other on the second coming of Christ. And then, in verse 8, speaks, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power, that is the Holy Ghost. And Christ said to the ten, remember, they were shut in a room of fear of the Jews, and how Thomas was not with them. And Christ came among them. Peace be unto you. And what did he say? Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And ye will soon be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what he's speaking about. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Of course, when we look and read, just at that exact time, the disciples were no way able to go out and do this what Christ said. Because Christ was not yet glorified. That's why. Christ had to be glorified first. But then we come to Christ's last commission. I'd like you to open your Bibles at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Here we have Christ given his last commission, and it is known as the Great Commission. We read Romans chapter 10, and we'll be looking at verse 8 to 13. Then the last commission of Christ said to them, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That is in verse 8 of Acts of the Apostle. And this made the disciples think. And even today, we have to think, because people are still in their sin around the world. And it should make the Christian think. Now we come to the Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. And in verse 8 we read, but what saith it? the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth salvation is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These verses explain the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Explains the gospel message. And the disciples were to have this great commission. It was a necessity to bring the gospel message to the lost. This was so important. And as we read in verse 14 of Romans 10, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The necessity of preaching the word of God is to the lost foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. How important it is that we must bring the gospel message to the lost. And then we'll continue on in verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, it's very important that we bring the word of God. But the hallelujah, we have to be sent. We think of Paul in his first missionary journey. He was sent out by the Holy Ghost. And he was also sent out by the church. And as we look, and even as the disciples, they thought, oh well, we have to start in Jerusalem. Oh well, will be okay. We'll be able to get the word there. And then we have to go to Judea, beside us. And then Samaria. Well, that will be more difficult. Because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, remember? And then to the uttermost parts of the world. You should have thought, why are we going to do this? And the same with God's people. We start at Jerusalem. We here this morning, and those who are listening in the audio sermon, wherever you are, we start at home. We start here in Kingston. This is where we start. We spread the word around the people here in Kingston. We go to the children and the young people and all others, and we start there. And hopefully, and we pray that when our brother Ralph would come along, when there's a Sunday school, and when there's children's meetings, and that the work will really start here at home for you. This is where you have to start. And whatever church you belong to, this is where you start, at your own home base. In Ireland, you start in Ireland. In England, you start in your own hometown. And you spread the word of God. This is important. and then it moves. It moves to the country beside you. And even to countries in which would have been your enemies. For example, in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, it was very difficult for to bring the gospel message to the south of Ireland. You couldn't very well have open ears. People would be against you. It was so difficult. They would just not listen. But now it is different. So we can go in and spread the word of God. And people are grateful for it. It changed because God was in it. But we have to do it. We have to go. We must go out and reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is missionary work. We must bring the message to others. Even in the audio sermon, even from this house here in Kingston, the word of God is going out around the world. And listen to it. In Ghana, America, Canada, Ireland, Republic on the north of Ireland, Northern Ireland, heard all over the world. That's the gospel going out from us. And how important that is, that we must bring the gospel to others. Oh, I could speak on that for a long time. But just let me say again, the work begins at home. For anyone who wants to be a missionary, you must start at home. You must start with your own, maybe Sunday school or children's meeting. Maybe you're going out. Remember whenever I started at first myself with my track work, that was almost this next month will be 40 years I'll be doing it. And I had to start out right in front of my own house. And that's where I started. And now, 40 years later, I'm standing in the other end of the earth in Tasmania. How wonderful that is. It's important that we start at home and then we work out. Make it like I all your life for to reach it. You know, when I look back even 10 years ago, I would never have thought that I would have been in the like of Tasmania and Canada and all other places. Never thought of it. But you see, whenever the Lord wants you to go to a place, He will bring you. But it's important that you start to work at home in Jerusalem. Then we come, and our time is going. We have this great commission, and we'll look back again on Acts chapter 1. When verse 9 tells us, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. But also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. There I'm sure Nathaniel saw us from back the beginning of Christ's ministry. There he saw, the rest of them saw Christ go up into heaven in a cloud. Them two angels saying, this same Jesus, the same go, will come, same Jesus, will go, so come, in like manner. We look forward to that. Whenever Christ went up into heaven, and how he was glorified in heaven, and he took his place as a great high priestly office. And once again, I have committed that thing that I said I wasn't going to do. And now I'm going to run out of time. But we will speak again a wee bit more on it next Lord's Day morning as we look at the great high priest. But the glorification of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And how important it was. We'll look in Hebrews, and this I'll close. And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He started this high priestly office, which he was going to intercede for his people. And I'll just read in verse 5 and 6 of chapter 5 of Hebrews. Hebrews 5 and 5 and 6. And I'll just read these two verses and our meeting will be over. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Do pray that the Lord would bless these words to all of our hearts. Next Lord's Day morning we will be looking at this great high priest office of the Lord Jesus Christ.